Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It's never too early in the year to have some coaching rumors, especially ones that tie in the NFL and college football. We will get into those coming up here just a couple of moments from now. It is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever the hell you are, making us a part of your Wednesday morning. We appreciate you doing so. We're going to take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And guys, we've got some coaching rumors that are out there because USC is in search of a head coach. And we've got Eric Bieniemy, according to Adam Schefter. Eric Bieniemy is a guy who might be a top candidate. But all of a sudden, the USC head coaching job and Petros Papadakis, who joined us yesterday here on FSR, who laid waste to the entire program. Brady Quinn, get ready to talk about this, I would say, at length on Big Noon Kickoff with Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush. This is going to be a fun coaching search to watch.
Yeah, I might get a segment or something. I don't know that anything's going to happen. I don't know if anything's going to happen right now. I'd rather talk about that matchup between, you know, Penn State, we are, LeVar's team, yeah, and Auburn. Here's the reality to everything you're going to see and read out there. You are getting agents who are pumping up their clients to act like they're a potential candidate for this job. There will probably be, and Joel Klatt tweeted this, and he's dead on. You're going to see somewhere in the ballpark of $50 to $75 million worth of contract extensions for coaches who are leveraging this vacancy into getting more money from their current employer. Okay. Now, I don't necessarily know that that is what's tied to Eric Bieniemy. I think he wants to be a head coach. You know, for whatever reason, the NFL hasn't given him an opportunity to. But that's neither here nor there. And so if you can't get one in the NFL, USC is one that you might look at and say, hey, I've watched Pete Carroll do it before. Go dominate, have arguably one of the greatest teams of all time, and then go to the NFL and have success. So maybe that's a path that would make sense for me. So there's that thought process to it. But the reality is there's only a few candidates that they're really excited about and I think want. The rest, everything you hear, I don't care what reporter, who they write for, where they come from, they're going to throw out a bunch of names who aren't really even in consideration. Mm. They're not. And it's all about their agents getting their name out there to make more money off of it. So that's where you got to be careful about this whole process. USC made a decision. They're going to go through their, you know, background checks and, you know, and get together with their board and figure out who's the best candidate for them. Then they're going to try to go after him. And that's how this works. And I think there's four names. It's going to be Mario Cristobal at Oregon, James Franklin at Penn State. And here's the thing is, it's a credit to James Franklin.
Yeah.
And what he's done, what he's built, and those players. Luke Fickell said this, who's also in consideration. It's a credit to what you've built, what the players have done and all that. When a vacancy comes open like USC, that they would mention that coach's name.
Yeah.
As much as it's about the coach, it's about the players. You know, like when that happens and there's a vacancy, like the players are the ones that have earned that for their head coach to have that shot. So, you know, he's going to be a part of it. You know, Luke Fickell's going to be a part of it. And Matt Campbell is the fourth candidate at Iowa State that's done a tremendous job building up that program, even though they just took an L. But this actually might be the right time for him. You know, last year, the way they ended up playing, and then this year having one of the higher rankings they've ever had coming into a season, it might be the right time to jump ship because they might have hit their ceiling there in Ames, Iowa. So those are the four candidates. You're going to hear a lot of other names thrown out there, and we can get into that. But I'm telling you right now, they're not going to make a decision this quickly. Like, we're not going to move on to a new head coach during the season. I think they let this thing play out, and they work behind closed doors.
Well, speaking of James Franklin, the head coach of Penn State, I mean, he did address the rumors, the rumblings yesterday. Here was your guy, LeVar Arrington.
As you guys know, I can't stand in any form of distraction. So I'll discuss this today with the leadership council so that we can make sure that all of our energy and all of our energy is on our preparation for Auburn.
So there it is. You know, just doesn't want any part of it there.
Well, here's the thing. Let me give you some real insight on James Franklin. Yeah. And I hate to do this, but I love to do it. I hate to do it because it could be horrible for our team, our program, our community. But it's giving a man his flowers when he deserves them while he's still here, obviously. James Franklin saved the Penn State football program. You know, some people credit Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien ran. He got the hell out of there. And he didn't think that it was going to be the situation that he had signed up for. It had gotten much worse once he had got into office, the depth of how deep the situation was at Penn State. Bill O'Brien beat cheeks up out of there. James Franklin came in one of the darkest moments in the history of college football for a program, and was a light. He was a light to the community. He was a light to us, the former players. And what he did was salvage a horrible situation. Because again, the penalty that was self-inflicted, self appointed or whatever, carried out, that was just shy of the death penalty for a team. And for him to come in and under the circumstances that he was in at a Big Ten school and turn it around, and not only turn it around and revive it, but end up building it strong enough to actually win a Big Ten title. If you look at the circumstances of USC football right now and how anemic it has become in terms of its relevance and success and winning, it still doesn't, it pales in comparison to what James Franklin had to overcome taking the job at Penn State. Now, take this into consideration. Why wouldn't James Franklin consider a place like USC where there are donors that are going to support the team? There's a community that's going to support him. I was just in the media over the summer condemning main board members, one being the late great Joe Paterno's son, Jay Paterno. Another was Anthony Lebrano, who, whatever their agenda was, who cares, but were shooting down and voting no to make improvements to the Penn State football facilities.
Really?
Brady. $40 million. $40 million. They're shooting down $40 million to improve the facilities.
Why?
Exactly. So the point is that you have this contingency of people, and this isn't talked about much, but I'm going to talk about it because if James Franklin were to ever leave, while I would be heartbroken and utterly lost and confused as to what's next for our program, I would not be surprised if he entertained this type of an opportunity, because I know what he brings to the table in terms of leadership, personality, excitement, recruitment. People have tried to put him down. Oh, he can't coach. Yeah. There's this large contingency of people that think that James Franklin doesn't do things the way that Joe did it. But Joe is gone. And for what it's worth, on Joe's watch, this is something that James has had to clean up. Something that happened on his watch. So no matter what it is, no matter how you shape it up or look at it, to not support somebody who came into one of the darkest moments in the history of the program because you're not getting public apologies for what happened with Joe is absurd. So for him to be collateral damage in that situation and try to still build a healthy, competitive football team in one of the toughest conferences in all of college football, I would certainly think that he's going to entertain how much money, because they'll probably pay him more money to come here. And they probably give him – he would probably be the first coach to take office for USC that would actually get what he wanted, to the tune of how Pete Carroll was greeted and brought in and the opportunity that he had. So if it were to happen, I'd be okay with it, but I wouldn't be okay with it.
You know, I think he would embrace L.A. too, which is something that Pete Carroll did a tremendous job of. Like some people would say, well, like the circus is coming to town, but he understood how to thrive in that
environment. That's Frank. Frank is Hollywood.
And that's what I think James Franklin could bring. So I think if it went that direction, it would make sense there. Here's the good thing for Penn State. I think you get Luke Fickell. I think Fickell then looks at that job and says, yes, sir. Because of everything that James Franklin helped them get past, I think that is one of the top-tier jobs next to Ohio State. Maybe that next spot that I'm saying, that's like the job I'd want in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Someone asked me right now, you want to be a head coach somewhere? And if Penn State was open, I'm leaving you two. Sorry. I'm gonna go be a head coach of Penn State. So
no, I think you get
someone like Luke Fickell who goes in there and I think he takes everything he's built so far at Cincinnati and he keeps that program on the rise. So that's the good thing for Penn State fans is if this was to take place, I do think you end up getting one hell of a coach on the backside of it. And if it's not Fickell, maybe someone else who's looking to take that, but I think he'd be a great fit for
maybe
Penn State.
Maybe I'll put my hat in the ring. Maybe I will bring you in as my OC, Brady.
All right. What can I do?
And we'll bring Jonas in for quality control.
All right, that's good. That works for me. Good.
There is nothing wrong with nepotism.
Can I drink on the job while I'm doing it?
Absolutely.
All right, I'm in. Let's do it, man. Roberto, bring Roberto in.
Yes.
We'll do the whole thing. Danny, we'll just rip beers while you guys are putting together a 5-win team. That'll be fun.
We would win.
Okay, let me ask you this, though. How many jobs would you take over Penn State right now in college football? Like, what are the jobs? Other than Alabama, maybe an Ohio State or a Clemson, what jobs would you consider are better than Penn State right now? Because I don't know that USC is a better job than Penn State.
It's not a better job, but it's a better job. Depending on who you are, is what I would say. Because the mob is fickle for the Penn State community. They're either with you or they're not. Now, if they're with you,
it's either we are or we aren't, right?
Hey, let me tell you. So it would have to be James Franklin. And if I'm being like, let me just be fully transparent here. Race matters. Race matters in Pennsylvania. That it matters. And so for James Franklin to be embraced the way that he's been embraced, he actually overcame barriers. And some people still are there on that. Some people are still there. But he has totally taken race out of the equation of the situation. Now, with that being said, if somebody else were to come in, if they don't fit a certain level of conduct and representation, and you guys understand what I'm saying, that will not be embraced at all. Because it's a purist school. We are purists. Like when I was there, we were only allowed to have a groomed mustache. You couldn't have a beard. You couldn't wear earrings. It was very military.
Really?
It was very military.
Wow.
It was very uniform, and again, it's very traditional in terms of the approach. So we had to wear blazers instead of wearing sweatsuits. We were never wearing sweatsuits ever. To a game, you wear a blazer, a shirt, collar, and a tie, and you wear hard bottom shoes. And everybody you greet, it's yes sir, it's yes ma'am, it's no sir, it's no ma'am. It's you hold the door. It's a very very traditional, old school traditional type of way of life. And a lot of things have changed since everything happened. But a lot of things had a lot of the money. All right, because you got to follow the money. The students and the culture of the school has changed.
The money's the same.
But where that money was coming from when Joe was there, those people are still alive, and that's still the coin that is funneling in and funding what's taking place. So whoever that coach would be, they would have to be able to navigate. We said bureaucracy here in USC, Southern California. You would have to be able to navigate the politics of a very, very closed community with the Penn State faithful. So,
I mean,
I guess I'll put my hat in.
Why not? Listen,
because I probably would be the only one that would understand how to navigate it the best. So,
yeah.
Brady, you coming?
Yeah,
you
come on, Brady. We need to come in here.
Yeah, I'm there, baby.
All right, we're going. I mean, I tell you what, there's nothing like being in State College. I will say that.
Yeah. We've heard. I mean, we can't get the invite, but we've heard. We keep hearing all this stuff. You know, he keeps bloviating about State College. Yeah, Brady and I, you know, call him. Hey, LeVar, are we going? Hello? We can't get an invite.
I got to make sure I protect that.
We aren't.
I got to protect that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got to protect that experience.
Yeah, your reputation.
Some people just don't. Not my reputation.
You don't try.
I told you. I land in State College, and I float the entire time. I don't walk one step in State College. No.
They carry you. I mean,
I just float.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like, you know, it just is what it is. That is my place. I kiss the ground. This is a true story. I kiss the ground every time I get off of the airplane in State College.
Yeah, but you do that before you walk in studio.
No,
so
I don't do that
impressive.
Here. No, I don't do that here.
I was wondering.
I kiss that State College ground, though. As soon as I get off that airplane, I love State College with all my heart.
You. I'm just trying to imagine LeVar at State College doing that, but then also at Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, you would think that it would be odd to do it, but the people that are stand and wait and watch, like, LeVar's kissing the ground.
Yeah.
Like, there it is. Like, that's the guy.
I'd love to see it sometime.
I mean, I matter there. I don't really matter anywhere else.
I matter there. Don't say that. You matter here.
It's not true.
I'll tell you what. You know what? Just so you know, we're going to make you feel special. You matter at Fox Sports Radio. That's why coming up in hour four, it's going to be all about LeVar Arrington.
Thank you.
I'm telling you right now.
Thank you.
I'm not going to stand for
I'm
anything
I'm not even going to be
that.
In here. You're so mean. You're so
mean.
What? I love
you're so mean.
Oh, listen.
I'm not even going to be in here.
Okay, I forgot it was a three-hour show. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It is.
Berto is the funniest dude. What a true Raiders fan Berto is.
Berto
I tell
is
you
a
what.
Raiders fan. Yeah, he definitely
a
knows.
Raider for sure.
For sure.
Autumn Wind Raider.
Yeah, H-E-R. Yeah. All right, it is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio.
It's a pirate to me. Raiders, a pirate.
Brady Quinn and Jonas Knox with you here on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Rumors are circling that LeVar will be ditching us for TV at some point here. I mean, it's very distraught
in the closet,
about it.
I'm gonna hit the closet studio.
Yeah. It's very fancy setup here.
Yeah,
I don't know if
closet
you know
studio is a Fox Sports Radio.
but we will be also getting into this discussion about a quarterback in the NFL. There's the rumblings out there that we could be seeing a starting quarterback in the NFL, a franchise quarterback or a hopeful franchise quarterback coming up here momentarily on FSR. By the way, this is a big time game for Penn State coming up this weekend, right? I mean,
every game is a big time.
Okay,
game.
But if they beat Auburn, that's another top 25 win. Now you see Ohio State's got a loss. All of a sudden, are you starting to think maybe making a run at this thing, LeVar Arrington? What are we looking at here?
We gotta get past Ohio State. Like, that's all that matters.
It's a tough schedule.
Yeah, man. It is. They made it tough on purpose, and I feel as though. I feel as though they did what they did in an attempt to really, really take that next step in being able to not only solidify recruiting, but to get a little bit more, gain some more respect in terms of possibly making it into the playoffs. So, but those conversations can't be serious conversations unless they beat Ohio State. Like, they got to handle their business with everybody. I'm not saying look forward and look past teams, because obviously last year there was no looking past anything. It was survival last year, but in years past, outside of the COVID season, it's always been I would not be surprised if we win and beat Auburn. That's not going to surprise me. I think it'll be a good game, but I just don't think an SEC team with the type of defense that we have right now and the way that they're playing, I just don't think an SEC team goes into State College and wins in a whiteout. I just think it's too daunting.
It is. I mean, you guys, I think I saw a stat. You guys are 5-2 versus ranked opponents in Happy Valley.
Yeah.
In particular, whiteouts. So it's an uphill battle for them. They don't throw the football particularly well either. You know, Bo Nix has kind of struggled. So, and they haven't really played anyone yet this year. So if they could stop the rushing attack of Tank Bigsby and then Jarquez Hunter, I think you guys are in for it. The only concern I have, and you could speak to this better
than I. You're going to hit it. Go ahead.
Is just their offense.
Yeah.
Is like the passing game, not necessarily even running the football. Like if they can get into a rhythm early in the game, because I do think Auburn could match up with them well enough on the outside. Like I don't have those concerns with Penn State's defense. I think they'll lock up easily what Auburn's going to try to do in the passing game. It's more about if Sean Clifford doesn't turn over the football and if he can make enough plays in this game.
No, I think that's 100% accurate. And then now it comes back to how much can this offense improve before we get to the Big Ten? That's just is what it is to me. I don't find myself when they took Wisconsin on, that scared me. Auburn isn't a game that scares me. I would be surprised and shocked if they lost against Auburn. But in terms of next steps, where does this whole Penn State thing go? And God forbid, I mean, we're able to make a go of it this year and USC would try to lure him away. Man, but I do think that this is one of those seasons where the way the defense is playing, if they can improve their play calling or Clifford's ability to deliver on offense, I mean, I think they should be okay.
Outkick the coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. All right. So there was a report out, according to Jay Glazer, which I think we can all respect, that Jay Glazer, as you pointed out, LeVar, yesterday and doing the draft with him here at Fox Sports Radio. Jay's not wrong. And so he has the best sources in the NFL. And the report that came out, according to Jay Glazer, is in regards to Justin Fields and whether or not he will be taking over as the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears. And this from Jay Glazer. Says, quote, "The plan was for him not to be the starter before week four. That one I can tell you without a doubt. The Bears were really hoping their defense would come up big and they'd be able to play ball control football and Andy Dalton would be able to manage that team and Justin Fields could just learn. They did want to take him along a lot more slowly than throwing him in there in game one or game two or something along those lines," end quote. So, Brady, this feels like, maybe the Bears got a glimpse of what their offense looked like the first game of the season and also that they might need to score a little bit more than they were planning on based on what they saw from the defense. And we could be seeing Justin Fields here pretty quickly for the Chicago Bears under center.
The fine line they're fighting right now is basically having to factor in what they need to do right now that gives them the best chance to win because their jobs are on the line. I mean, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
Like, they're feeling the heat. And they're kind of in a no-win situation. Because playing the rookie will not save your job. We learned that from John Fox back when he was their head coach, played Mitchell Trubisky. Didn't matter. Didn't save his job. He still got fired after that year. So even if they put Fields in, we've already seen this organization move on from a head coach. So that doesn't play into their favor. If you put Justin Fields in before you feel like he's ready – And I don't care if he's better suited for the team from his skill set. He hasn't seen as much NFL football as Andy Dalton. And so Dalton probably puts them in better plays, protections, et cetera, and sees the field better. So from that standpoint, they're probably listening to both and saying, like, Justin's just not there yet. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's not supposed to be. None of these rookies are. So that's okay. And then the last thing is what's around him. And unfortunately, what's around him is an offensive line that probably would play better if he was behind center because of the conflict that he puts defenses in, having to account for him in the running game, having to account for him even in the passing game if he takes off and runs. Like, that changes things. But you don't want to put him out there if your defenses are allowing a wide receiver to get 20 yards behind the closest DB and giving up big plays like that, and then you're constantly playing from behind. That's just a recipe for disaster. So they're fighting all of those things and trying to contemplate how this thing's going to play itself out. And I think the tough part for Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace is they feel like they're stuck in a car that went over a bridge into water. Like it's just filling up with water. Eventually they're going to drown. It's just a matter of when. And I'm not sure they can get out. Like it sounds dire. And maybe because I just saw that scene in like a movie or something last night. But I'm just saying, like, that's the situation that they're in. Like, they're going down, man. It's just it's a matter of how it's going to end up happening. And it's tough to watch. It is. And it's going to impact Justin Fields' career. He's not going to get that, you know, year off where Andy Dalton plays great, goes to a Pro Bowl, and then Fields comes in after, you know, next season after he sat and watched for a year. That's just not the scenario that they're in right now.
They're also dealing with pressure from their peers, right? And the peer pressure can be so loud and it can be so disruptive. Maybe you felt as though your first opportunity was to see what Andy Dalton could do and ride it out and buy him some time, buy Justin Fields time. But you're seeing, like, Andy Dalton isn't better than Cam Newton. But Andy Dalton is starting in the NFL, and Cam Newton is out of a job for the space that they're creating to develop and see what can happen with Mac Jones.
It's his aura, though.
Well, his aura did play a large part in him not being on the team. Of course, when your aura gets into the way, it can ultimately blind people from seeing maybe what you can bring to the table otherwise. But I digress, and that was actually sarcasm. The idea of it, for me, you look at they traded Gardner Minshew from Jacksonville. They got him up out of there. A guy that could have very easily started for a team that is not prepared to win yet, as we saw. And can you buy Trevor Lawrence sometime? The same things you just said about Justin Fields, right? Can you buy him sometime to be able to learn the game and garner some experience and what the pro game is all about? You're looking in New York. What's going on with Zach Wilson? He has no safety net whatsoever. It's just sink or swim for him in New York. So I just think that when you look at what the Bears scenario is that could play out, the best case scenario is Andy Dalton could have came out in this first game and played in a way where it would hold off the noise. It would be like, well, Andy Dalton played well enough for us to sit there and say, as fans or as the media, we're not going to look at all of these other teams that are taking chances. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is that type of guy. He is good enough where you're not going to sit there and be questioning Kyle Shanahan for starting him and not just going with Trey Lance. But in all these other scenarios, they got rid of the starter. Not only did they make the rookie the starter, but they got rid of the person that they were competing with to get that starting job. And that's the total antithesis of what the Bears have done here in this scenario. And for them to not overachieve, I don't know how many weeks they have. This might be the week they put Justin Fields in, but the team is clearly better when they put Justin Fields into the game, from my estimation.
Well, they've got Cincinnati this week. You know, they're going to give Andy Dalton every chance to try and.
But
know.
That's just personal. Why? Yeah, this is a great week to put Justin Fields in and say, you know what, you're one of the greatest football players to play college ball in the state. And I mean, that's kind of maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, he's got a good reputation. I mean, he did really well for Ohio State.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like, there's sentimental value connected to Justin Fields in Ohio as well.
You know that the fans,
there might be more Cincinnati fans cheering for Justin Fields in that situation.
Than
cheering for their own quarterback.
Well, okay, so it's in Chicago, and this is the point, is that you know that fans, and
thank you.
Brady,
yeah, my bad.
That's all right. Let's happen. Who cares? Brady was knows this, being the first round draft pick, the guy everybody wanted to see, and you talked about it in the preseason that when you came in, people were going nuts because you were the guy. Andy Dalton, even if he just plays average or slightly good, it's going to be considered a letdown because they look at the potential for Justin Fields and they go, we don't care what Andy Dalton's doing, get him in the game. And I just wonder if at some point that's going to impact some of the decisions here because the fan base is starving for a quarterback like Justin Fields. And I just wonder how bad this is going to get just game day for Andy Dalton in that stadium. He talked about it in the preseason. It's different at Soldier Field. Those fans are going to be tailgating their ass off in Justin Fields jerseys and Dalton's going to get his ass booed if he does anything wrong. And I just wonder if that's going to impact some of the decision there.
It's not even if he does anything wrong. You know, it could be on third and two, you know, they run the football, don't get it, and they're coming off the field and he was a part of a drive that, that didn't get a first down. He gets booed too. I mean, they're not necessarily booing him, they're booing the play call, but it creates that negative attitude that fans will then apply to him. And so the next time they go for it and they don't get it, now they're booing, now they're pouring on even more. Hey, when's Justin Fields going to get it? You know, it starts that whole narrative. So that's the difficulty is, you know, a lot of it could even be out of Andy Dalton's hands. And yet you're still going to get a bunch of fans, a bunch of especially local beat writers clamoring for Justin Fields to get a shot. And then that's the reality of it. When they took Justin Fields when they did, this was always going to be the case.
Of course.
It was just a matter of time.
Absolutely.
Outkick the coverage here. Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn with you here on FSR. Coming up next, we have a little bit of an update, some details on one of the more interesting and bizarre quarterback situations in the NFL. We'll get to that next here. It's Outkick the coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the coverage.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Outkick the coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. You do not want to miss this. We are going to get a full breakdown as to what it's like when you get hit in the balls as a quarterback trying to throw a football. This is going to be, just scintillating stuff. Really, I think this is going to be the highlight, Marconi Award worthy from Brady Quinn here, coming up a little over 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. One of the great moments of your career, I would say, Brady, broadcasting-wise.
What's a Marconi?
I think it's like a radio award for like a great radio broadcast.
I'm never going to get one of those.
I know. I'm not either. Trust me.
Count me out of that.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Darn.
But this really is going
to
be.
I'd like for us to have one.
That's not going to happen. Yeah. I got news for you.
Not as many ball jokes as we make around.
It's not going to be the case.
We have fun, though. We have more fun than a lot of those dorks that,
well, that is true.
Name calling on a Wednesday. How about that, you nerds? You geeks?
Oh, wow.
Why not?
Nerds. You remember the name, though? Do you remember the name?
Revenge of the Nerds.
But do you remember the name of the dude who was doing that? Come on.
Ogre. All right.
Okay. Can I confess something?
Yes. Yeah. Don't say
never
you never
saw those movies. Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Never cared.
Yeah,
I've heard the drops.
I've heard the drops. I've never seen the movie.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Are you guys being serious?
Yeah, serious.
Dead serious. Yeah. I've never in my life watched any of those. Oh, never wanted to.
Brady and I were usually working out.
That's
the
original
football.
Lamar in that movie.
We were
back and watch.
We were usually throwing the football around. We didn't have time for that. Oh, Brady and I
got you.
Doubling
God forbid I just don't watch a bunch of movies as a child. I didn't play video games really either. I really didn't play video games.
You didn't play one video game as a kid?
I used to go play at my friends' houses, or I have like family who had them. My parents did not want me to have any video games when I was young. I was always playing sports. I was always outside doing something.
Yeah, man,
you came in the Sega PlayStation.
Oh no, we had the original Nintendo.
The original.
Like, we were playing games. It was the original
Tecmo
Nintendo.
Bowl.
You didn't have Sega? Sega Genesis?
A lot of our friends had Nintendo. Some of them had Sega, but usually it was Nintendo, and then like Nintendo 64 they would have after that.
All right. Yeah, see, I go back to ColecoVision, Atari.
Whoa.
Yeah, Atari 2600, that thing.
Ataris, yeah. Bro. Like with Pong.
Yeah. See, like, I think...
I played Donkey Kong. Pitfall.
Bro, yeah. You just said with Pong. That makes you sound old as hell.
You know what my favorite video game was when I was a kid?
What?
Power Cleans. That's what I was doing, man. I was throwing iron around in the weight room. That's what I was doing.
I really thought we were going to get... Is it the Breakfast Club or 16 Candles reference?
No, I thought we were going to get one of those.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure.
I was waiting for that.
We can't do movie references. Y'all ain't even seen Nerds. How y'all haven't seen Nerds?
Revenge of the Nerds? Yeah, I don't know, man.
Oh, my gosh, man.
You know, life is life's too short. Short, man, to be watching movies. Throw some iron around. Yeah, it was either that or get on the gas, and I chose the latter. All right. So this report, there's some details out about the situation in Houston with the 1-0 first place Houston Texans. That the expectation, this according to James Palmer, who covers the NFL for the NFL Network at NFL.com, is that Deshaun Watson is never going to take another snap for the Houston Texans, but that everything's cool. He's in the facility, he's interacting with teammates, but he's just kind of there, and there's no plan to use him, and he's never going to take a snap for them again. This has got to be one of the weirdest situations that I can recall in the NFL, because everybody's waiting on either the Houston PD or the NFL to make a decision. The Texans and Nick Caserio don't want to take, you know, below what they think is considered fair trade value for Deshaun Watson. So he's just hanging out in the facility, just hanging out, like showing up for work every day. It's just bizarre, man, this whole thing.
I don't know what to make of this, man.
It's weird.
I mean, I've never seen anything like this. I really haven't. I take that back. So I remember I had a teammate at one point who had let's just call it like a personal situation or injury, and that was not like what was being reported or what the deal was.
I think I know what you're talking about.
No, don't say it.
I'm not gonna say it.
He was out for a few weeks. I think eventually went on IR, but It was not what was being reported. I'll just put it that way. So it was really, really interesting. And so you kind of see him around and all, but then you didn't. And then you're like, okay, I don't know what the hell's going on, but it is what it is.
The problem is the amount of money and the what he represents to this team. That is the biggest problem here with Deshaun Watson.
It's the whole thing's
bizarre.
At some point, just trade him, man. Like, okay, so you get 2-1s and you want 3-1s. Like, you got to move on at some point. You're a first place team trying to make a Super Bowl run. You don't have time for this crap. You know what I mean?
Deshaun is getting it.
Yeah, my guy Tyrod Taylor gets stabbed last year. Now he's a starter.